Thank you, Lord. We've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God. If you would, please turn over to Romans 8:14. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And we've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And last week we were talking about specifically following peace. What does it look like to follow the Spirit of God and to be led by the Spirit of God? This says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So if we're led by the Spirit of God, that's a characteristic of being a son or daughter of God. We should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And so much of even the Christian world, I mean, let alone the rest of the world, people without God or say, well, you know, you just do the best you can in this life. You make the best decisions you can. You know, you work hard, you try to get an education, you do the best you can, but, you know, God, if there is one out there, you know, I'm not believing that. Number one, they may not believe that there's a God. Number two, if He is out there, He's got more important things to do than my little life. He's not concerned with what's going on in my life. I mean, He may deal with presidents, you know, or heads of state, or kings and queens, or the commanders in the military, or CEOs. But, you know, in my life, He doesn't have time. That's the way a good portion of the world thinks. If they believe in God at all, they just don't think. They think they're pretty much on their own, and God's out there. He might step in a crisis, but He doesn't have enough time to actually talk to everybody all the time in the small affairs of life. And then you have a good majority of Christians that they may say that God hears them, but they act like He doesn't. In normal life, people are wondering, where is God half the time? Where's God in my life? Why isn't He here? Why isn't He helping me? I need help with this. Doesn't He know that? And they try to ask Him for help, and then they want to hear, but they don't know what to look for, so they assume He's not talking. Because if God could do something, I've heard this, and you have too. I asked God about that, and He didn't answer me. I asked God to do something about this situation, and there was no answer. And there's a lot of bitterness that comes out of this. People blame God. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. He didn't show me. I'm asking Him to show me what to do, and He doesn't tell me. Doesn't He know I need His help? Doesn't He know I don't know where to go? Has anybody ever heard any of this before? Does this sound familiar at all? It's basically God's out there. Now, if you talk to Him, some of them may say, oh, yeah, they'll sing songs. He's my Father. Worship you. But they're just singing. As far as they're concerned, God is a million miles away, and they're trying to get to Him. They're trying to knock the door down, but He won't respond. This is the sentiment that a lot of Christianity is based on. It's just like, I'm trying to get Him to get into my life, but I don't know why. Maybe it's because, and then they come to all kinds of conclusions. I'm just not good enough. I haven't been doing what I should be doing. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. He's too busy, or He doesn't care about me, or any number of things. And it's all God's not doing it. And God does not change. He does not move. He is the Almighty, and we are His children. He gives us a picture. He is love. He gives us a picture of what love looks like in Corinthians. He gives us a picture of what a daddy is like to his children. And we know what a good father would be. We all have pictures from whatever source, somehow in our minds, of what we believe a good father should act like. And if God is our father, he should be at least as good as a good earthly father. And can you imagine an earthly father? Their child is asking them for advice, asking them for help, and just completely, I'm talking about a good father. There are fathers that do all kinds of things, but I'm saying somebody that's good, completely ignoring them, sending them answers in code so that if they're real smart, maybe they'll figure out what the message was and what the advice was, but good luck with that. Send them all kinds of cryptic signals and little tips and whatever, but I'm not going to just talk to you. I'm not going to tell you. We wouldn't think of a good father being like that, but really, a lot of Christianity, although the words are there, they don't really believe that God will tell them and talk to them about normal stuff. If you get down to behavior, which is an indication of what we really believe, doesn't matter what we say. Doesn't matter what you tell your neighbor. Doesn't matter what you sing in church. Doesn't matter what you tell other people in church. What you do when there isn't any other influence determines, that's an indication of what we really believe when nobody else is around. And a lot of people really believe that God is really not talking with them. God, I'm in this situation. Where are you? Why haven't you told me what to do? I don't know what to do. And the implication is, God, you have failed me somewhere because I don't know what to do. Right? Is that right or wrong? And we all can slip into this, where we're feeling like somehow I should know what to do here, but I don't. And so the problem is God. It can't be me. Now, I'm not saying some people go to the other end and say, everything is me, boom, boom, boom. It's me, I'm stupid. Of course it's me, I'm stupid. I'm not talking about that. You can beat yourself up, yes. But to go to the other side and saying, it's God, is just as stupid. Because God is not the problem in general. And so we shouldn't be really quick to jump over here and say, God, you know, you just have decided with me not to, you know, adhere to your word for me. I know you like other people. I know you talk to them, but I can't hear you. I wish you would, but for some reason you have chosen to disregard your word when it comes to me, and so I don't hear you. And it's my lot in life to go through life and not really hear God for me. Is this hitting too close to home? Or no, we've all been tempted, because you know who's the author of those thoughts? Who wants you to think that God does not have an interest in your life? The enemy. He's a liar. So one of his tactics is to come and tell God's children, even though the devil knows the truth, he knows the truth well, but he'll come right in the midst and tell the children, tell you, tell me, you can't hear from God. God's not speaking to you, and he doesn't care anyway. You're not good enough. You've messed up too much. You're a fool. He doesn't like you. Do the best you can on your own. You may not hear it in exactly those words. He's subtle. He's very mischievous, very sly. Enough that you think God is the problem. Well, if you think God is the problem, where are you going to go? If you think God somehow does not want to speak to you, but you want to hear from God, but you really believe that he doesn't want to hear you, but you think you need to hear from him to have the answer, you have a problem. Because your answer is there, but you don't think he really wants to help, so you're not going to go to him, and you're going to stay in the same place day after day and think, I tried. I tried talking to him. He didn't answer me, so I'm stuck. And there is usually some bitterness there. I'm stuck, and there's a reason why I'm stuck. It's because he didn't answer me. You get under the skin of most people, this is where they're at. A lot of people that have a problem, they think they can't hear from God. It's because they feel like God failed them, and God's not talking to them, and he won't lead them. For some reason, they got to figure this out on their own. And I'm here to tell you it's a lie. And I'm not saying it will feel like a lie. Those are two different things. The devil is extremely good at what he does. And if you deal with him in the natural, he'll clean your clock. He will. He's very, you talk about mischievous, sly, devious, cunning, intelligent. He is all those things. And if you try to go toe-to-toe with him in the natural, he will clean your clock. He will destroy you. You can't. You think of the smartest person you're aware of on this earth and multiply that by many times over. You're dealing with a supernatural being. Now, he's nothing to God. He can't defeat God. And he knows that. So his basic tactic is to separate you from God, because then it's just you. And he can take you out. But if it's you connected with God and the Holy Spirit and the greater one inside of you, he knows he cannot deal with that. He can't deal with that. And there's a connection that God speaks to us with, and it's called your spirit. It's a spirit connection. He is in us. We are in him. And it's our spirit that is in him, and he's in our spirit. He dwells, the Bible also says, your body is the temple. Well, your body of the Holy Spirit, your body is also where your spirit is. And God is in you. So the enemy cannot penetrate that connection. So when we talk about being led by the Spirit of God, if you're trying to be led, and so many people are, they're thinking God is going to speak to them out here. I'm going to see God. I want him to speak to me. I want him to give me a sign. I want to see something. You're dealing with this realm out here, physical. That's not how God speaks to us. Now stay with me. He can speak to you about things that happen in that realm, but he doesn't primarily speak to you that way. He doesn't speak to you through your mind. People are looking, explain it to me. I want to see it in here. God, show it to me in my mind. And that's not the primary way God explains things and talks to us. Now, stay with me again. I'm not saying he won't say anything and confirm anything that comes through your mind. The connection that is infallible, that is solid, that the enemy cannot mess with, is your spirit connected with God's spirit. That is how he leads his children, and it is foolproof if we know what to look for. Now, God will lead us primarily, we talked about this last week, and this is where I want to keep going on. He's going to lead you. We've talked about that he leads you through your spirit, and that we're a three-part being, and we talked about these different things. You have to go back and listen to the previous messages because we can't review all that. But we talked about following peace, because that's the voice of your spirit. When you look inside, It's one way, I should say, it's an impression that you have through your spirit. It's not necessarily the voice of your spirit, but it's an impression that you have. If you follow peace, you can learn to be led by God. He will lead us by peace in our hearts. And the devil, he can't counterfeit that. And he knows it. But he can counterfeit things in the natural out here. He's the God of this world. So he can make things happen in the natural. That's why we don't look for signs out here. We don't look for, we don't put out fleeces. They put out fleeces in the Old Testament. They weren't filled with the Spirit of God. God did do certain things, like with Gideon. Yes, that's in there, but people take an Old Testament concept for people that were spiritually dead and try to make it apply to people that are in the new covenant that have the Spirit of God living in them. Look at Romans 8:14 again. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." See, the Spirit himself bears witness with you. This is how he leads us. He bears witness with what? With our spirit. He didn't say he's going to bear witness with something out here. This is where people get into trouble. They'll start saying, well, God, they'll ask him a question and they say, well, God, if it's you, if that's the one I'm supposed to marry, then do X. That's not a way to be led by the Spirit of God. Because the God of this world, the devil, has control of things and people that have not submitted to him in this world. He can send something and make it happen. And this can happen to people. They say, oh, well, see, what I asked for happened. I mean, they'll say, if three red cars come by in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to know that I'm supposed to marry that man. How many of you know that eight red cars can come by in the next 2 minutes, and that does not make it God? It could just mean it's a red car day. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Right? You all laugh, but people do this. If this happens, I'll know it's God. How does that make it God? Oh, it seems silly. But it's religion. It's not based on the Word of God. And you can get duped easily. And then they'll say, it won't work out. Well, I thought it was God. This happened. It's not based on the Word. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just happened. Natural. Then people want to have something explained to them. If I can figure it out, then I'll know it's God. If I can understand it. You can't make decisions based on that. Now, let me say this. We can see things in the natural, and God can confirm something, but it will be in the spirit. So in other words, you could see something happen, and it gets called out to you, but it's going to bear witness with your spirit that whatever you see is right. It's not because the natural thing happened. It's because, in other words, you could be looking for a house. Let me tell you, some people do this. People do this with... It's so tempting to make things God just because something out of the ordinary happened. And they say it must be God. It's not true. You're looking for a house, and something happens where you get introduced to somebody and something comes up and you meet this person and they have this house and it looks like what you want. That doesn't have anything to... And then people say, I believe that's God. Because this happened and this is the house that I need. And they're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this house. And they think it's God. Just because something came up as an opportunity What you do is look inside and look at your heart, your spirit, and say, is that what I should do? And look on the inside. Now, for those of you that weren't there last week, you look at peace. You look at peace when making these decisions. We talked last week how God leads us by peace, and we read some scripture along that line, and we're going to get into some more today. But he's going to lead you by peace on the inside, in your heart, not in your head, not with your body. And it's like this. If you think about doing the one thing, God, the peace of God will be soft and gentle, like just velvety. You know, we gave some illustrations along those lines last week. Like if you had a velvety glove. It's just nice, and it's like, you think about doing it, it seems good. The Bible uses that term. It seems good to do something. It seems good to go that way. If you're making a decision and you think about two things, you think about this way and you say, how does it affect me on the inside when I think about that? You think about going to the left. You think about buying this house, whatever. What does it do on the inside? God, it'll be peaceful. It'll be, yes, that's what I should do on the inside. I'm not talking about your head is lined up with it. I'm not talking about you get goosebumps. I'm saying on the inside, it seems, yeah. The more you think about it, it seems good that we should go that direction. If it's not God, you think about it, and it's like a scratchy feeling, like sandpaper, or like just a sick feeling. Like you think about it, and it's just a warning. If it's uneasy, don't go that way. If it's a sick feeling, that's a warning. You stop. Brother Hagin used to say it like this. When you want to run, walk, or jog. When you want to jog, walk. When you want to walk, crawl. And when you want to crawl, stop. Our flesh wants to do the opposite. When it wants to run, it wants to run. This is God. We're going to go in and get it. Let God speak to you, to your heart. Let God make it clear on the inside what he's telling, that what his will is. Don't jump into something because you see something on the outside, because you see, we need to do this. I see this person came into my life, they said this, and they had this opportunity, like we were talking about a house. This house is for sale. We got to buy it now. We're going to miss it. It's God. Got to go now. Now, before it sells, we got to do it now. That's the flesh so many times. That's not the Lord. The Lord is calm, is gentle, he's peaceful. And if something comes your way, check on the inside. Don't make a decision before you know what's going on the inside. If you make a decision because you'll think you'll miss something, you're making a decision based on fear. Fear of missing something. But we're going to miss the opportunity. Again, what did you just say? But I'm going to miss out on something. That's fear. That's not making a decision because I'm being led to go this way. It's making a decision because I'm afraid if I don't go that way, something bad will happen. Even if that something bad is that I won't have the opportunity to buy something or to get something. That's fear. That's not being led by God. But so much of the time, it's pressure. Our flesh can get us into pressure, get us into trying to do something quick. Let's look at a few scriptures here on your sheet, reviewing some of the things we went over last week, and we'll move a little bit further. Look at Colossians 3:15, the second scripture there. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Notice the first part of that, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God, let it rule. Let it be the umpire. Let it be the determining factor what you do. If there's not peace there, don't do it until you have peace. Did you hear me? Do you know how easy it is to override peace? Has anybody besides me ever overrode when you knew I shouldn't go? I think I'm pretty close, but there's something nagging me. There's something scratching me. But you rationalized it away. You didn't look. You couldn't see anything with your eyes. You couldn't understand anything. As far as you're concerned, it looked good. But something on the inside was scratching you, was bothering you, saying, this isn't it. Keep moving. It is so easy, if we're not careful, to override that. If you don't have peace, take time until you do have peace. Wait. Your flesh doesn't want to wait. Your flesh thinks, that's a four-letter word to your flesh. Wait. W-A-I-T. Your flesh does not want to hear that. It wants it yesterday. Wait. Are you kidding me? It's right here. This is God. Let's go. Done enough praying. Let's go. But if there's something in there scratching you, you want to do it, it looks good, and you want to rationalize, it looks good to your flesh, looks good to your mind, but there's something in there that's just not quite right. It's like, no, don't override that. And the bigger the decision, the slower we ought to go. If you're thinking about marrying somebody and there is a, not sure, you better stop in your tracks till that, I'm not sure, gets taken care of. That's one of the biggest decisions you're ever going to make. And the consequences of that decision are going to affect generations. So if there's a, not sure, I want to say what that, not sure, I don't want to figure it out when I'm 5 years down the line and I'm cooped up and, oh, okay, now I see what it was. Woo! Should have listened to that. Not a good place to be in at that point. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. There's a story about this man. He was visiting this other minister. The minister took him down to this insane asylum, just going to visit some of the people there. And so they went in, and they go back by this one door. And this guy is standing there, and he runs. They watch him. He runs across the room and butts his head up against the cushioned wall. He'd yell, Mary, go, Mary! And he'd run across the room and butt his head against the wall. And then he'd get up, and he'd go, Mary! And he'd run his head and butt up against the wall. And the guy's like, what's up with him? He goes, well, he was dating this girl named Mary. And right at the last minute, she jilted him. They were supposed to get married right at the wedding day or whatever, decided not to marry. He's never recovered. Got committed to the insane asylum. It's like, wow. So they walk down the hall, and they keep going. And then they look in this other room, and there's this guy, and he's yelling, Mary! And he runs down and butts his head, gets the wall, and he goes, is that? He goes, no, that's the guy that married Mary. You got to be careful. I don't just say that to completely be funny, but some people think, I missed out. And some people know what they missed out on. You got to be led by God. You don't want to be led by your head, by your flesh. No, we want to be led by the Spirit of God. God is good, and He'll warn us what's coming down the pike. Hallelujah. Let's look at James 4, 13 on your sheet. James 4, verse 13. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Is that true? Does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? We know some things. We know it's Monday. We know it's Labor Day. We know what the weather should be, although that's, you know, not very certain. He says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. We ought to look to Him. Before we say, I'm going to do this and this and this, we ought to look inside and say, is that what you'd have me to do, God? Is that what you'd have me to do? Is that the right thing? Look down on Philippians 4. We read this last week. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, lest your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Notice that. The peace of God, it passes your mental ability to understand. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice that. What's going to guard you? The peace of God. What's going to keep you on the right track? It's going to be the peace of God. We said to pray about it. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for what's coming down the way. Don't be anxious. We got to figure this out. We got to figure this out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How many times do we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do before we go forward and look to Him? We're all guilty of this. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face. What are we going to do? What if this happens? What if this happens? I don't know about this. What do you think about this? I don't know. What do you think about this? I don't know. We ought to do some more research. Research isn't bad. But at some point, He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplications. That's definite requests. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then He said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard it. The peace of God will guard you. See, we don't have to be worried about making the wrong decision if we'll follow peace. If we'll know to look on the inside, we don't have to say, what if I make the wrong decision? Number one, what if you did make the wrong decision? God would still be there. He'd still love you. He'd still have your back. And so don't let the fear of making the wrong decision hold you back. But anyway, if we'll just do what He tells us to do and let peace be our umpire, let peace be our guard, then Satan can't deceive you into doing the wrong thing, even if he manipulates the circumstances, even if he tries to push things on your mind. The Bible says if we'll go to God and ask Him, don't be anxious about it, go and ask Him that the peace of God will rule in our hearts, will guard our hearts. And if we'll look to peace and let peace determine what we do, then we'll get in the right place. Husbands and wives. When you are making a decision, talk about it and make sure both of you are in peace about it. Now, there is a grace. If you don't have a spouse, God is there and He will direct you and guide you. Maybe you have a trusted friend that you can bounce things off of and say, let me tell you something. What does this do on the inside of you? Because then you're talking about another person, another Christian that can give you some feedback. Does this bear witness? Somebody that's trusted, that's close to you, that you can say, what do you, maybe your pastor, maybe somebody else that's close, but somebody that you can say, I'm thinking about doing X. What do you think? And when you're saying, what do you think? You're saying, how does that settle? In other words, is the other person picking up something on the inside? Is there any check? But if you're married and you're both going to be making a decision together, you ought to look on the inside and see if the one person has a check, which we call, if it, you know, it's scratchy, it's unsettled. If one person has that, do not move forward until both partners are settled, believe this is the will of God, but you're in agreement about it, and you're both, you know, in peace. You can say, you look at each other and go, you feel peace about this? Yep, you? Yep. And then you could still sit on it, depending on the magnitude of the situation. See if you have peace tomorrow and the next day. I'm saying for bigger situations, the longer you wait. You know, we waited for months before we made the decision finally to move out here. When we made the decision to move, when we first started talking about making the decision to move to Andover, we took months. We didn't tell anybody. We knew and we said, we're going to sit on it. And we're going to make sure if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. And we're both going to be in line. You know, when I first told Shelly about potentially moving out to the Boston area, she wasn't on board at all. And I wasn't at this point, and this is something, learn something here, husbands or wives, when you're talking about doing something and making a decision, don't come out of the gate with, God told me, if you don't know. Because if your spouse, you're just shutting down this system, whereas your spouse could say, I don't think that's God. But you can just automatically, you can get in a fight because you think the other person's wrong or whatever. I told her at this point early on, I said, you know, I don't know. This has been in me for a few days. What do you think about it? I wasn't settled at all. She said, I don't want to move out there. I don't think anything. I said, okay, well, it's probably nothing. I just shelve it. And we went through the summer, and it was months. And then there was something, I'm not going to go into details, maybe you heard the story, but there was a certain incident where she got something specific and came to me and came back and had another half of it where she was feeling like, I think that might be right. Now, instead of me saying anything or pushing it forward, at that point I wasn't going to because I had pretty much, okay, whatever, I'll drop it. She came back, and God had spoken to her about some things, and we put it together, and then we both felt like, well, maybe this is the way we're supposed to go. So we are both coming at it. But then we didn't just go out and tell everybody, hey, we're going to the East Coast, we're moving. We said we're going to sit on it. We're going to sit on it for as long as it takes to see what happens on the inside. And we sat on it for months. Didn't tell anybody. And then it just kept, it was still there. It was like it just still seemed good. It still seemed good. And we're like, well, let's go out there and check it out. Maybe we're either nuts or we're hearing from God. So we flew out and checked it out and so on and so forth. And we made a decision. But my point in that is, don't make a decision unless you have peace. And if you're married, don't make a decision if you both don't have peace. Wait and let it settle. Wait and let God speak to you where you both have peace about it. Now, like I said, if you're not married, then it's you. It's you and God. It might not be a bad idea to bounce it off somebody else if it's a major decision. But ultimately, you got to follow peace inside your heart because it's you and God walking this out. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, let's go. Let's close with this. I was planning on getting further into some of these other scriptures, but let's close with this in John 10:1. In John 10:1, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Oh, we read this last week. But look at verse 4. "And when he brings out his own sheep," this is the shepherd, he knows them. He says he goes before them. Notice that. He goes before them. Notice he's not back behind them driving them, telling them, "You better move now or you're going to miss something." He's just out front leading them. You don't get the sense that the shepherd is real concerned, is real stressed out, is in a frenzy. "Sheep, if we don't get across the pasture by 5 o'clock, it's over. You're going to miss our opportunity. The grass is going to be all gone." You don't get that impression. The sheep are, the shepherd is leading out in front of the sheep. And the sheep know his voice and are following him. When God is leading you, you're going to be able to tell he's out front. He's going to be showing you. He's going to be prompting you. He's going to be making things, quickening things to you. Look to the inside. You're going to have peace about certain things. You might question them. But God's okay if you're trying to hear his voice and that's your goal, for you not to move, because he'll make it clear that is him. Just wait. Just be patient. Just wait and let him lead out in front. Just let him show you. And if you have questions, just, again, like it said, don't be anxious about it. Just go before him and ask him about it, and then let peace be your guide. And he'll sort it out to where you know, yeah, that's the way we're supposed to go. I mean, we've been sitting here, we've been looking out, and God, it still seems like he's going that way. I still believe that's him up there. I still believe that's the good shepherd right up there. You know, we've been waiting, we've been sitting on this for several weeks, and I don't think we're supposed to go over there. I believe that's where we're supposed to go. I believe that's the Lord leading us. This is how he does it. He leads you calmly by peace. And then it says, "And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Know his voice where? You get to know that peace is him. That knowing, that kind of subtle, not excitement, but just a, we're going to get into it probably next week. Just, it seems good. There's something about it. I think about that and it's like, it doesn't make any sense to my head. My flesh doesn't want to go there, but something about it, it seems good. And as we learn to follow him and practice this in small things. Don't wait till you have, you know, you're deciding on your spouse. Young people, practice this now. Practice to hear the voice of God in peace. You know, when you're just, it's so easy. We all buy things from time to time. You buy an outfit. You buy a new piece of electronic equipment. You buy different things. Practice being led by God in those situations. This is a perfect way to practice. You say, well, that's just natural. No, it's more than natural. Don't wait till you think it's some spiritual, really big spiritual thing and say, now I'm going to pray about it. If you have something to buy, this is a perfect way to practice. Look at your potential options. Look at the reviews, but you're not led by the reviews. In other words, somebody says this is 5-star. It may be 5-star for them, but for your application, it's not quite right. Something may be, 3.5 stars, but you're thinking, you look on the inside, you read it, and say, is that the thing I ought to get? Now, don't over-spiritualize it, but just look on the inside. You're in a store looking at it going, that seems good. Now, I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm not talking about your head. I'm saying on the inside, because God knows and he cares about you spending your money and how that thing will affect you. And he knows exactly how when you buy that thing, how your lifestyle, how it's going to fit in, how it's going to work. You know, if it's furniture or it's a stereo or whatever, he knows how that's going to fit in your life. And if you'll look to him like this, you will find. So you go and you're going to decide, I'm going to buy this. Check on the inside. Say, do I feel peace about that? Some of you may kind of laugh about this, but this is the way you learn to follow God. How do you start knowing his voice? The sheep, when they're born, if they're born into the pasture, they start hearing that voice when they're just learning to do things. And they know it over time. They don't wait till the wolf's coming and then decide, I'm going to learn how to follow the master. You go and you're going to buy something, check on the inside. Before you hit, buy. Finalize my order. One click shop, whatever. Check on the inside and see if there's something in there that is all clear. Yep, I can buy this. Yep, that's going to be the one. And I'm not talking about out here. You say, well, how do you know the difference? This is how you practice knowing the difference. If you blow it, you're out however many dollars. Don't start with a $2,000 item because you're still going to probably do fine. It's not marrying somebody. It's not sending your kids somewhere. It's something that's, I missed it. You know, like one individual said, you, when you learn to drive a car, you're going to drive up on the curb a few times. So, why do we think we got to be perfect with following the Spirit of God? So we drive up on the curb a few times. Okay? You just don't want to drive up the curb when you're making a major decision. Make it something that's small. So you're going to buy something. Check on the inside. I tell you, I do this regularly. I will not buy something unless it is completely clear. Do you know how I know that? Do you know how many things I bought when I really wanted it and I on the inside thought, this isn't going to be good, and I bought it anyway. And then I had something that fell apart or it broke or it didn't actually work with what I needed it to work with. And I knew it on the inside. I knew it. But I wanted it on the outside. But I tell you, over time, you learn, no, there's something off there. It's wrong. I'm not doing it. But when you're learning, you say, should I do that? If it's all clear, get it. You'll find you will be satisfied with that thing. It will be a joy to use every time you use it. When you put on the outfit, it's like, yes, I'm so glad. And it's such a good feeling. It's such a peaceful thing that God led you and helped you. You say, does he care about this? Yes, he cares about it. And it's a training ground. You believe this or not?
Yes. Amen.
This is very practical. I'm telling you, it's a tight feedback loop too. You can do it and you realize you spent a few bucks, you missed it. Okay, I learned. But if you have a scratchiness, don't do it. If you have something that you believe is peace, do it. And over time, you'll get better at that. And as you practice in these decisions, now something big comes up. We read here that the Lord, that they know his voice. Well, how do you begin to know the voice? Because you've heard it. You've seen that was his voice, which gives you confidence. Then the next time you come, you make a decision. Well, you look on the inside. What does it feel like? Well, it feels like that last time when I did this and that turned out well. I'm going to do it again. And then it turns out well. And now another decision comes and it's scratchy. And you're like, that doesn't feel like that. I'm not going to do it. Or you decide to override and you do it. And now something happens and goes wrong and you realize and you look back, darn it. I knew that didn't feel the same, but I did it anyway. But what did you learn? What that feels like. Now you come up to the next thing, and you're feeling that scratchy feeling. Ah, I don't think I should get it, but man, it's so cool. It just came out. Look at it. All the reviews are good. I should be able to get it. You can have that argument with yourself, and that time, you may just get it again. And then afterwards, you figure out, stupid. That was the wrong thing to do. Now, you come up against the next thing. You have a choice. Scratchy. Want to push the button. But you don't. And then something comes up and you see why, and you see this other thing came up, and this was the right thing. Now you have the warm fuzzy in the inside, the glow, and you're saying, that feels like the other several times I got something. And it was right. And I just had that bad feeling about that other thing, and I didn't act on it, and now this feels good. I'm going to act on that. And then you find out that was exactly the right thing. Now you have experience behind you. Now you have momentum. Now you're learning the voice of God and to follow peace. And now a bigger decision comes up. Like, well, I've never been here before, but I have a track record of following him. And now I pray and I ask him, and I start to look on the inside, and I go by what I sense on the inside. This is how he trains us. This is how you're able to make a big decision, by looking back and saying, he's led us here, and this feels the same way, and I've taken the appropriate amount of time for this decision, and yes, it's bigger, but it feels the same way, and I know his voice, and he's never let me down, and I believe that I'm going that way. And it will still take faith, and it will still take stepping out, but you'll know his voice. Hallelujah. He is so good. Amen. Praise God.